Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Recordati 2018 first 9 months results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Marianne Tacchi, Director of Investor Relations and Corporate Communications of Recordati. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon or good morning to everybody, and thank you for attending the Recordati conference call. Fritz Guindo, our CFO, will be presenting and commenting upon our first 9 months 2018 results. For a better understanding of his presentation, please access the set of slides available on our website, www.recordati.com, under the Investors section and Presentations tab. At the end of the presentation, we will answer any questions you may have. Please go ahead, Fritz.
Thank you, Marianne. Good afternoon or good morning to everyone. On slide number two, we are very pleased with our first 9 months results, which show sales and margin growth. Let's start with our revenue. Consolidated revenue is 1,013.3 million, which are up by 5.1% compared to last year. In 2018, sales include those from metoprolol-based product, which was acquired from AstraZeneca last year. And we also include the sales generated by Natural Point, the Italian company acquired in June, as well as an estimated negative currency exchange effects, which could be estimated in 39.1 million euros, which means that we have been strongly impacted by the devaluation of some currency, in particular this is linked in particular in the third quarter by the devaluation of the Turkish lira. If we exclude these items, growth would have been 3.6%, and we continue to have our organic growth in the range of 3-5%. Important to say that the further improvement of our margin is on track. Let's start with EBITDA at 37.5% of sales, is 380.1 million, which are up by 11.1%. Operating income at 33.3% of sales is 337 million, an increase of 9.6%. And net income at 23.5% of sales is 237.9 million, an increase of 8.2% over the same period of the preceding year, which means that we continue to improve our margin, essentially thanks to the leveraging of our organization. Financial position, we have a net debt at the end of December, which is 462.7 million. We have an increase of 80.9 million compared to last year end. But let's underline that we had the share buyback for an overall disbursement of 169.8 million. We had payment of dividends for an amount of 87.1 million, and also the acquisition of Natural Point in Italy for a value of 75 million. Excluding this item, we continue to have a very solid cash generation, which is close to 440 million, which is even more than one-to-one cash conversion with our net income. Regarding our corporate development initiatives during the period, an agreement was signed with Mylan for the acquisition of the rights of Cystagon in Europe and other territories. And, as I said, the Natural Point, an Italian company specialized in food supplements, and in particular a well-known brand of magnesium, was acquired. Yeah. We're very pleased by our performance, both in terms of financial results, but also regarding agreement that we have signed for the further development of our company going forward. Then we can comment on our main product sales, slide number 3, and then the performance of our corporate products is in line with our expectation, and the metoprolol based product acquired from AstraZeneca were added to our portfolio as from July 2017. That's my comment on the major corporate product. Zanitib, Lercanidipina sales are substantially stable, and this is in line with our expectation. Regarding Zanipress, Zanipress is our brand, is our combination of Lercanidipina and Enalapril. Our sales of this product are in the first 9 months of 2018 are down to the competition of the generic version. But let's say today we have the generic competitor in all our major markets, and we believe that this reduction of 13.1% in an environment in which there is a strong generic competition for our brand is an important result, even better than what we expected. Let's now move on. Urorec. Urorec, Cilodazin, sales are 76.1 million during the period, and we continue to grow our product. In the first 9 months, our sales are up by 9.5%. This is due to the good performance of the product in all the main markets. Sales of Livazo are 34.4 million and are up by 17.8%. We continue to have a double-digit growth for Livazo due to the good performance of the product in Turkey and in all the other markets where it has been launched. Let's now move on. Celoken. I would like again to underline that on June last year, we signed an agreement with AstraZeneca for the acquisition of the right of this product. In Europe, revenues generated by this product in all our countries, which are covered by the agreement, in the first 9 months of 2018 are 73.8 million, and are in line with our expectation to keep this product, to stop the erosion of this product, and to keep this product stable. Let me say also, and we will see in the presentation of our breakdown by geography, that these products contribute significantly to the growth of our subsidiary, mainly Germany, Poland, France, the Czech Republic, and Romania. The other corporate products are down overall by 0.8%, and this is due to the competition from generic version of Rupatadina-based brands, but also to the negative exchange rate effect in Russia. Part of these other corporate products are sold in the Russian market. Then our specialties indicated for the treatment of rare diseases generated sales of 163 million during the period, an increase of 1.1%. Sales in USA are down by 10%, due mainly to the negative exchange rate, which could be estimated in 5.5 million, and to the competition, expected competition, let me say, from a generic version of Cosmogen. On the other hand, let me underline that sales in the other part of the business in the rest of the world grow by 12.9%. And excluding the U.S. performance, which is impacted by these two extraordinary items, devaluation, FX negative impact, and generic competition of Cosmogen, we continue to have a solid growth, double digit, in our orphan businesses, our business for the treatment of the rare diseases. Slide number 4, the graph shows, as usual, the breakdown of our revenue by type of product. And we don't see, we have now in this chart, you can see that there is the inclusion of the metoprolol franchise that has been acquired from AstraZeneca in the corporate product, but no major changes. Slide number 5, the composition of revenue by geography. Let's start with our Italian business, which represents around approximately 20% of our sales. Sales in Italy are up by 4.2% to the good performance of Urorec and Cardicor, and the significant growth of the treatment of rare diseases, but also due to the integration in the product as from July of this year of Metoprolol brand acquired from AstraZeneca, and in the last quarter also to the integration of the product that we have acquired following the acquisition of Natural Point. In Germany, sales are up by 16.3% thanks mainly to the sales generated by the Metoprolol product acquired from AstraZeneca. Sales in France, here again, we are up by 7%. In France, worth mentioning the good performance of Urorec, the integration in the product portfolio of the Metoprolol-based brand, and also the integration of the gastroenterological products, Transipec and Colopec, we acquired from Bayer in December 2017. Here again, also in France, the treatment for rare diseases are also growing strongly. Revenue generated in Russia, Ukraine, and CIS country is 75.1 million, which are down in this case by 5.2%, but includes an estimated currency exchange losses of 8.7 million euros. Then this decrease is only due to the currency, negative currency effect. Sales in Russia, in local currency, which is Russia is the most important market in this line, sales in Russia, in local currency, are substantially stable. And the corporate products launched in Russia, which are Urorec, Zanidip, Rivanzol, Procto-Glyvenol, are performing well. Now then we can comment on our group pharmaceutical business in the USA, which is only dedicated to marketing of products for the treatment of rare diseases. And as I said, sales in the first 9 months, 18, are 75.1 million euro, down by 10%, due mainly to the generic competition of Cosmegen and due to the significant negative exchange rate effect. Sales in Turkey are down by 12%, and here again, this is only due to the negative currency exchange effect, which can be estimated to be of 20.3 million. Then we have had in our business in Turkey a very strong impact in terms of revenue linked to the devaluation of the local currency, while we have in local currency sales of our Turkish subsidiary grow by 21.6%. Then very solid, strong performance of all our products in Turkey, which has not been able to offset this strong negative currency exchange, which has had an acceleration in the last quarter. Sales on Central and Eastern European countries, let me say, benefit significantly from the consolidation of Metoprolol-based products. But in this business, we are growing both the Metoprolol-based product, but also our corporate brand, also thanks to the reinforcing of the organization following the acquisition of the sales of Metoprolol, which allow us to have a critical mass in practically all these markets. Slide number 6, the graph shows the geographical breakdown of our pharmaceutical revenue. You will see that we continue to have the Italian business, the most important business, but which represents around 20% of our sales. Then we continue to have a very balanced presence in all the other geographical European markets. Slide number 7. Sales, which is here, we are commenting our first 9 months P&L results. We have already analyzed our revenue for the period. Let's now move on to gross profit. Gross profit for the period is 717.3 million, with a margin of 70.8% on sales. And I would like to say that we continue to improve our gross margin, and this improvement is mainly due to the further growth of products with higher margins and also to the positive effect of Metoprolol-based products acquired from AstraZeneca. Selling expenses at 24.7% of sales increased less than sales, and therefore are down as a percentage of revenue compared to the preceding year, thanks to the increased efficiency of our group commercial organizations, which means that we continue to increase our revenue, adding products thanks to our business development activity, but also growing the current portfolio, keeping the same commercial organization, and then we continue to leverage our infrastructure and improving our margin. G&A expenses are sustained, practically stable, and diminish as a percentage of sales to 4.8%. Here again, we are also leveraging, which is less important in terms of margin improvement, but it's in the same direction as to say as the selling expenses. R&D expenses are 79.4 million, and the R&D expenses are up by 10.1% compared to those recorded in the first 9 months of last year, and this is due to initiation of the new development programs, mainly in the rare disease arena, and the amortization of the acquired rights of the metoprolol-based products. Net financial charges for the period are 13.8 million. Here we have an increase of 2 million due to the interest of the medium long term that which has been granted for the financing of the acquisition of metoprolol and in particular that we have bought last year. Regarding the effective tax rate, the tax rate during the period is 26.4%, which is higher than what was the effective tax rate last year, but this is due mainly to an adjustment of a tax risk provision that we have booked in the second quarter of this year for the audit that we have in Italy, which is in part compensated by the tax credit in Turkey for an overall effect of 5.6 million euros. Excluding this extraordinary effect, we continue to have a tax rate which is in line with our expectation, which means a tax rate between 24% to 25%. Net income at 23.5% of sales is 237.9 million, and we have an increase of 8.2% of our net income compared to what we have achieved last year. Let's now move on slide number 8, in which we show the split of revenues, EBITDA and EBIT between our two business segments, and then EBITDA margin are 51% for the rare disease segment and 34.9% for the specialty and primary care segment. It's important to underline again that both segments show margin improvement. The same for the EBIT margin. EBIT margin are 47.9% for the rare disease segment and 30.5% for the specialty and primary care segment. Then performance, which is not only linked to only one business unit, but an overall good performance in all our sectors. Okay, then let's move on our net financial position, which show a net debt of 462.7 million, which compared to the net debt at 381.8 million at the beginning of the year. But as I said at the beginning of my presentation, during the period, a 10 million milestone was paid for the license agreement with Gedeon Richter for the right of Reagila. Then own shares were purchased for the overall amount of 169.8 million, and dividends were distributed for an amount of 87.1 million. Furthermore, the Italian company Natural Point in June was acquired for a value of 75. Then, our net financial position show an increase of our net debt, but if we exclude all of these payments which are linked to the expansion of the company or are linked to the acquisition of our own share, the cash generated during the period is of around 204 million. implying a 100%, even more than 100% net income to cash conversion rate. Very sorry. Then let's now move on the end of our presentation. As usual, at the end, we announce our financial projections for the full year, and these are on slide number 12. You can find our target for the full year 2018. And let me say that, taking into account the strong devaluation of the Turkish lira, which we estimate will be for the full year 2018 on its own, have on its own an impact of around 30 million a year. For the full year, we expect to achieve sales which are ranking from 1,340,000,000 and 1,350,000,000. While we confirm our objective for the margin, in particular for EBITDA, a range of between 490 and 500 million, EBIT of between 430 and 440 million, and net income of between 310 and 313 million. Let me say then, we have been impacted by the devaluation of the Turkish lira, but thanks to the natural hedging, which is in our business represented by costs which are also denominated in the local currency, in particular the Turkish lira, and thanks also to the corrective action that we have put in place, we are very pleased to confirm for the full year our margin, our target in terms of margin that we expect to achieve for the full year 2018. Here, I finish my presentation and I am available for any questions you may have.
Operator, can you please open the question and answer section? Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Carlsco conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask to use handsets when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Joe Walton of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I've got three questions to start with, please. Firstly, on foreign exchange, you've helpfully given us the impact on the sales level. I wonder if you could help us on what the impact has been on the profit level. As you say, you've got significant costs in Turkey as well as revenues in Turkey, so presumably there was some cost alleviation there. But if you could just help us look at the sensitivity to earnings as well as sales. Secondly, in the US, I wonder if you could tell us whether Cosmogen has now got down to a level that you think is sustainable or whether we've got further erosion to go. And I'm sure we'd all find it very helpful if you could perhaps detail for us what is the biggest drug in the US portfolio. And you know, roughly the level of sales that has, so that we don't get worried again by a potential for one drug going off patent. And then could you also give us an update on Regalia, when and how its rollout is starting? I believe that it should be being introduced to various countries around now. So any initial thoughts on how that's going would be helpful, please.
Okay. Thank you for your question, Joe. Then, as I said during the conference call, we have estimated our currency effect in the region of 39.1 million euro, which is very important, which is mainly linked to the translation of our business managed essentially locally in the US, in Russia, and in particular in the Turkish lira. Regarding the impact on margin, we don't disclose this full impact because in particular we can say that we have a natural aging which offset not the full impact of this effects on sales, on margin, because we have the, we in all this business, let me say, the margin is not very different from the growth, the margin, the EBIT margin we are achieving in the at the group level, and then you, you can estimate the impact on the EBIT level with this translation to be essentially a portion of this FX effect, which is in line with the gross, the EBIT margin that we had in our group consolidated result. But on the other hand, we continue to manage the business, and then if we cannot offset in terms of revenue the FX effect, because it's essentially a translation, and we try to grow locally the margin, and we're doing this in particular in Turkey, in which we are growing by more than 20%, on the EBIT margin, we have also some action to correct and to minimize this effect in terms of cost cutting, reducing investments on them. We are very pleased to be able in 2018, based on this natural hedging plus, as I said, these corrective actions, to preserve and to keep the margin that we have announced for the full year. Then the regarding you, then we are impacting for sure less than what we are impacting in terms of sales on our EBIT, but we are managing our margin to be able to offset the full impact through corrective action in the local business. Regarding the U.S. business, then we have seen progressively Cosmogen sales to decrease. For the full year, the expectation was to have a reduction in our sales of Cosmogen in the region of $10 million, and essentially we are in line with our expectation. Then, regarding our portfolio in USA for our orphan rare disease business, we prefer not to disclose in detail our the sales of our products. I can only say that the most important product of our portfolio in the U.S. is Tanenati. The last question was linked to performance of Reagila, Cariprazina. Then the product has been already launched in Germany. Will be launched the product in the last quarter of this year in Italy, in Switzerland, UK, Sweden, Finland, and Denmark, which means that we now have decided also to enter in this business directly, in particular in Sweden, Finland, Denmark, and the Netherlands, thanks to both metoprolol sales and the opportunity to launch Reagila. Then we are launching Reagila in all these markets. Further launches we expect to take place in the first half of 2019. But then we are very pleased by the level of reimbursement that we have been able to achieve in all these markets in which we expect to launch the drug.
Can I just check, you're saying that you've actually launched it in Germany in the quarter that we've had? It's only been in Germany, but by the end of the year it will be in all these other markets?
By the end of the year it will be launched in Italy, UK, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Netherlands, and Switzerland. We expect at the beginning of next year to launch the drug in Spain, Portugal, and then in France.
Thank you.
Okay.
The next question is from KC Arikatna of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I have a couple, both on your Turkish business. You mentioned that you expect a 30 million FX headwind from Turkish lira alone in 2018. Can you tell us what the cutoff date for that is? Is it based on the FX that was there at the end of the third quarter, or is it much more recent than that? And sticking with Turkish business, do you have any plans to take advantage of the depreciation in the currency, given that you have a manufacturing base there, i.e., do you have plans to use it to increase manufacturing and sell it in regions which are close to Turkey? Thank you.
Okay, could you ask again the first question, because it was not clear what was your question regarding the impact of the Turkish lira in our P&L?
Sure. So the 30 million FX impact that you have estimated, at what date is that based on, the FX?
What date? It's a full year.
This is a full year. By the end of September, in our actual number, the impact of Turkish lira negative currency effect is close to 20 million euro for the full year. We expect another strong impact in the fourth quarter, and overall 30 million euro is the effect, the negative effect for Turkish lira for the full year. And regarding the business in Turkey, we have this production plant, which has been built primarily for serving the business in Turkey, but we have availability of capacity, and we are working on using this production capacity, first of all, to supply in our Eastern European market, and we are also working for having the plant approved for the European market. Then this could be a way for reducing our risk, but is not something that could completely offset. Is the normal ordinary cost of business to try to reduce the risk, but is not something that could, based on the production capacity we have available, could significantly change the negative currency effect in our P&L.
Thank you.
It's okay.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touch tone telephone. Once again, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Joe Walton of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I just wonder if you could help us with a little bit of background, how you're seeing the Turkish market. You've obviously grown strongly in that market. How you think that market is developing, if there is any risk to the domestic growth rate from all of the currency problems that they are having at the moment, whether you're still confident in the underlying rate of growth, and perhaps also tell us a little bit about how you're seeing the underlying growth rate in Russia. And then finally, it's obviously very important to you to make acquisitions to do growth. It's in your business model to both grow organically and to grow by acquisition. Just to be clear that your sort of hopper of targets is as full as ever, just checking that you're happy that there are still plenty of acquisitions that you can make out there to bolster your organic growth.
Okay, first question was related to the old performance in the Turkish pharmaceutical business. Let's say that in 2018 our performance is not only due to volume growth, but based on this strong devaluation of the Turkish lira, there has been in Turkey a general price increase in the region of 10-12% at the beginning of the year. Then we expect also for next year to have, I don't know to what extent, but a price increase, which is a way for adjust the price in with this depreciation, because part of not we are producing locally, but other pharmaceutical companies are only importing, then they need some price adjustment. And then we expect also next year the business, the pharmaceutical market in Turkey to continue to grow double digit, in this case driven by both price adjustment plus volume growth. Regarding Russia, then, we have been now performing, we have stable business in the first 9 months. Probably if you remember, we are decreasing our business in the first 6 months, but this was linked to the extraordinary strong performance in 2017. We expect our Russian business to continue in local currency to grow high single digits. And I agree with you. Our business model is, let's say, linked to both acquisition and organic growth. In terms of acquisition, we continue to follow opportunity. We don't expect to close huge acquisition in short term by the end of the year, but we are looking for some minor opportunity, mainly in the OTC environment. And we continue to scout and to go through all of opportunity that we expect to have available in the market. We are recognized as a solid buyer, and then not plenty of opportunity, but there are opportunity. Our pipeline is have some project, and we under evaluation. But it's very difficult to predict when you can close an acquisition, but I can confirm that the strategy of the company continues to be based on these two pillars, organic plus the acceleration through acquisition, which we expect to be bolt-on acquisition for our European markets and some OTC assets. And we are also open to possible acquisition in the orphan arena, but these must be based on the price, which we believe are acceptable for value creation, which is the base behind our M&A strategy.
Thank you.
Okay.
The next question is from Katerina Tayakalski of BlackRock. Please go ahead.
BlackRock.
Hi, good afternoon. You mentioned that Penhematin was one of your biggest drugs in the U.S. I was wondering if you can comment on the recent announcement by competitor Almirall that their clinical trials of Givosiran, which we understand is a competitor to Penhematin, has been delayed. Is that expected to be a positive effect on you? And if a competitor is approved, is there a way to quantify the impact on Penhematin sales in the U.S.?
Okay, then we know first that Givosiran is a possible competitor of Penhematin for the treatment of the disease. We are following the evolution of Givosiran. I don't want to comment on their development plan. They have announced a possible delay, but we continue to believe that Givosiran is one treatment for the chronic use, for the chronic disease, while Penhematin is more an indication for the acute treatment. And then even in the environment in which Givosiran will be approved, we believe that Penhematin will continue to have an important market share in the market. If you are asking me, you are pleased by the delay, we are not pleased by, we believe that the patient has to have all the possible treatment, and but we would like to complete the treatment in the this disease, and we expect to be able to keep our position market share even in one market in which Givosiran will be approved.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Swindo, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay.
Good afternoon, good morning to everybody, and thanks for attending our conference call.
Good night, thank you.
Bye.